Okay.
Okay, thank you, Eric. People that are on the line, we are waiting for the board members to come back into the room, and we will the chairman will call the meeting to order shortly.
Thank you, Dr. Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hello, this is the fireplace room, and we're waiting for a few more to show up. Just one moment.
Thank you.
I can see it.
Okay, I believe all the board members are present in the fireplace room.
All right.
Four of them, rather.
Mark, Adrian, Patricia, are y'all all on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Adrian. Yes, I'm here.
Right. All right, Mr. Chairman, you have your group.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to call the meeting back to order, and Mr. Flores has agreed to give us our invocation for today.
This is about our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings of today. We thank you for guiding us in the wisdom from our college. Watch over our students and employees. Continue to be with us in all our endeavors. In your name, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Okay, recognition of guests. I don't, do we have any particular guests?
Just Iris from the Herald.
Iris from the Herald. Welcome. Glad to have you here. I would think you're the only one with the mask on, but I don't blame you.
My brother John.
Yes, we're about to
Michael's brother John's
brother
here.
Just a minute.
Welcome, John. Glad to have you. Okay, so we're going to go move on to our regular items, communications to the board.
And, Mr. Chairman, before we go much further, let me make sure, Eric, we are recording, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good deal. So if there are any individuals on the line that wish to communicate to the board, then they may do so at this time. And we do have a process as far as how that works if anyone so chooses to address the board. And Eric, you have it live, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not hearing anyone, so Mr. Chairman, you can
Thank
move to routine matters.
Thank you. All right, with that, we're going to move on to our routine matter. You've had a chance to read in your board books, routine matters. I will entertain a motion to approve or disapprove. I have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 I have four. Thank you very much. All routine matters are approved. We don't have any unfinished business, new business. District Service Awards.
Right.
Hey. Here, I get a new one. Michael, you want to join me?
I believe so.
And Vice Chairman Max, as you're moving forward to present the awards to Chip John and Michael for 25 years of service, on behalf of the college district, we want to thank you all for your service to Howard College. And Vice Chairman Max, I'm sure you have things you want to say.
For 25 years, that's a long time to do anything.
Yeah.
5 years.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
If y'all would, can y'all get together and get a good picture?
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It's been a crazy weekend, basically.
Someone needs to mute their phone, or Eric, if you could mute it.
Okay. If I do that, you'll have to use the code.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just probably one of those, like, if it had been any other semester, any other situation where we weren't doing all this crazy stuff, it would have been a completely different story. Yeah, I know there was a lot of obstacles. It's just kind of situation.
You talking to a dog?
Okay, thank you very much. That was
All participants are now in listen-only mode.
Okay, if you want to speak, use the code.
All right. Mr. Chairman, you can hear me? They're not hearing me.
I can hear you. They should be able to hear you. They just need to use the code to be able to speak.
All right. Let's get.
Okay, there we are. We can hear you.
Okay, good deal. All right.
I was just telling everyone that I really appreciated the 2 years as a student and 5 years teaching and now 20 years on the board. It seems like a long time, and I know Michael's been on the board for 25 years.
Well, I first came on the board in 95, and I was just forced to finish a term for a board trustee that passed away. I was supposed to be until 98. From 95 to 98, this term, but it's been an honor. I'm glad to be here and able to be here 25 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll be here maybe a little bit longer.
We really appreciate it very much.
Appreciate you.
All right, we're going to move on to our next item, which is Student Information Systems.
All right. Dr. Freeman, Chairman, board members, I make the recommendation that we move forward with the confidential agreement on the student information system that was discussed in the second in executive session and ask for authority to sign the document.
Do I have a motion to approve that?
Motion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 One more. All right, thank you. We have motions approved. Thank you very much. Okay, our next item is the 2021 final budget update.
All right. Board members, all this is, as you know, at your last board meeting, you made the decision to go from the 3% M&O increase to 2%. And we, the budget that you had that day had been prepared with the 3%. So with the decision that you made on that change, then we went back, Brenda went back and changed the budget so it does reflect the 2% increase in the maintenance and operation levy as opposed to the 3%. So that has been addressed also, and that difference was adjusted in the repairs and maintenance area. You also have the final budget recaps for each campus and updated tax information with your final decisions that were made that day. And so this is simply just informational. I told you at the last board meeting that with your decisions that we would make these changes. So this is what I am sharing at this point.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions? We'll move on to our next item then. It's this legislative appropriations request update.
Okay. Board members, you will remember at the last meeting we had talked about the fact that we were, and actually probably several meetings, we were in the process of working on the legislative appropriation request. And it was probably delayed by 6 weeks, almost 2 months this year, due to the fact of what was going on with the pandemic. And so as I had mentioned in the last meeting, we were going to be requesting that the 5% that was reduced for SWID as a special item. That was one of the items that we were going to request be restored so that our funding would be whole. And second, we were going to request that we get additional funding for funds that could address our low faculty salaries that we have been talking about for quite some time and we know is a challenge for Howard College. And so this is specifically for the SWID campus. As you know, as far as Howard College, that side of the LAR is just a straightforward request for our funding. They did not require the community colleges as a whole to reduce their overall budget in the LAR, they allowed us to go ahead and keep the same amount, but they did reduce the special items. And again, SWID is a special item. So as I'd mentioned that we were going to do those two things, we were going to ask for that to be restored, and then at the same time, we were going to be asking for additional funding to address the issue that we have with salaries. As we talked at great length in our budget meetings and our workshops, hearings, and all, that is something that continues to be a true challenge for us. And of course, SWID, the funding streams for SWID are limited in that they basically come from the state, with the exception of funding that we do receive for deaf, hard of hearing, or hearing students outside of the state. In the state, hearing students have to pay tuition, but our deaf and hard of hearing students get tuition waivers. So our funding stream for SWID then is basically, for the most part, state funding. And so in order to be able to address what is happening with our faculty situation, we went ahead and requested that we get funding for that. I will also tell you that I have already had an opportunity to visit with Representative Darby at a meeting in San Angelo, and I let him know. I didn't want him to be, you know, thinking, what are you doing, Sparks, when we're going into a session that is going to be very tight. But I explained that we were going down the path of trying to address, restore our funding. He knows how tight the funding is for SWID, so that one didn't surprise him, but I let him know also what we were doing with personnel, and so he is aware of that as we're moving into the session. Now, will we get that? And the cost for that, the 5% is 100, is to restore that is essentially $166,000. The money that we're asking for, and we're calling it competitive faculty pay, that's $137,500 that we're asking in order to address our faculty salary at SWID. So I would answer any questions that you might have. I say that, but let me just reiterate the fact that based on the most recent Texas Community College Teachers Association annual salary survey, our average salary of $41,688 ranks 45th of 50 in average faculty pay, which is $16,000 less than state average. And the way that we approach this, we tried to look at colleges that were similar size, and basically are asking that we're able to address and get our faculty pay at a more competitive rate, which would increase that pay by about $10,000, and of course the associated benefits that would go with that. But that, again, is simply to address the competitiveness of our faculty pay. Now, going into this session, it will be tough, but we are raising our hand to see if we can get some additional funding for SWIT. So now, any questions anybody might have?
Well, I know for one, in our meetings, in our budget meetings that we had, that the high school teachers are actually making more than our certified master's degree instructors here at the college, which is just, to me, asinine. But that's up to the state and up to what we can do to get those salaries up. Okay, thank you, Dr. Sparks. Our next item on the agenda is the Title V up grant. Thank you.
Okay, and I have asked Amy if she would give the report on that.
Absolutely. We are very excited. We, as Dr. Sparks mentioned earlier, we have a we were notified several weeks ago that we did receive a new Title V grant. It will be $600,000 a year for 5 years, so we're very excited. And this grant, we wrote it with the help of our consultants to align with the Texas Pathways model. And we titled this grant as Making Dreams Real, R-E-A-L, all caps, and that stands for Reach, Empower, Apply, Launch. And you do have this document in your board book, but I will just point out just a few things about the grant. There were three significant problems that we addressed when we wanted to address with this grant. The first is that only 9% of our students complete a 2-year degree in 100% of time. Another significant problem is that our Hispanic and low-income students post lower success rates than our white students. And the third problem is that we knew that we did not currently have the infrastructure needed to put a guided pathways structure like it needs to be in place to address those problems. So that was how we submitted the grant. There are four overarching objectives of the grant. First is to increase the number of students completing a degree program in 100% time by 10 percentage points by September 30th, 2025. The second is that by September 30, 2025, we will improve the number of Hispanic and low-income students who graduate by 10 percentage points. A third objective is to increase the transfer rate for Hispanic and low-income students by 5 percentage points by the end of the grant. And then the fourth one is to provide grant-funded services to over 4,500 students plus. So those will be our four overarching objectives. And I wanted to point out, on page 17 in the grant application document is a good chart, if you will, that summarizes all the different things we plan to do in the grant. You'll notice we have personnel. There's money in there for personnel, whether it's new or stipends for personnel to continue to help with these objectives. There's stipends for faculty and staff for training. We want to create teaching and learning centers at all campuses plus online. There is money in this grant for technology and hardware related to career development for students, something that we wanted for a long time, and of course consultants and trainings. And in our long-term goals, obviously, are that we have a guided pathways program completely integrated into our culture. The student time to completion decreases, especially for Hispanic and low-income students. Our graduation rates increase, more students transfer, and our faculty integrate culturally relevant programming into all of our courses through the use of our learning centers and the technology that we've received through the grant. So, again, I won't read this to you, but that page 17 really paints a very good and clear picture of what we are going to do and what we hope to accomplish with this grant, and we are very excited to get started. And any questions? And I believe you also were given the entire budget for the 5 years laid out in your board book as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy. Our next item on the agenda is the COVID-19 response status.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Freeman. And Emma, are you putting the response status up on the screen?
Yes, ma'am, it's up.
Okay. All right. And then board members that are on the phone, you know, you can access it. Okay. So as you know, what we do in our COVID-19 response status that we give you at every board meeting, we basically are trying to just keep you aware of anything that's new, different in our altered operations state. When we started this altered operations state back in March, early April, As a part of that altered operations, we had a responsibility to report back to you as we were doing things as that would be perhaps we would handle differently than we normally would do as far as through a regular board meeting. So we have tried to do those things. At the same time, we are also just keeping you aware of the decisions that are being made. As you know, as we update this thing, then we turn it, anything that's from the previous meeting, we turn it to black when it's no longer an active activity for us. But I would like to, on the third page, this is something that Cindy Smith put together this time that I think is very it's very visual of what is happening with COVID-19 confirmations in our service area. And she went back to June. Of course, the page before, you know, takes us back to when we started. Of course, when we first started, there were no confirmed cases in the service area. And by March 24th, we had our first reported case and five cases, and then we moved to today. And you can see that since August 27th, when you had your last report, our Tom Green County had 2,004, and we're now at 2,229. Dawson County has gone from 200 to 395. Howard County has gone from 276 to 722. I think what everybody in Howard County knows, a good portion of that is a result of the breakout that we had at the prison. Then you go through and you see the upticks that Martin County had a little uptick. Concho went up from 48 to 129. Polk went up some. Kimball stayed the same. Menard went up some. Slacker had a pretty good increase there. Glasscock some. Erion stayed the same. Sutton went up some, and Sterling went up a couple. When you go to page 4, this lets you know what our active cases look like at this point in time. And you can see in Tom Green that we, for the most part, we have stayed somewhat kind of balanced as far as the number of active cases that we have as people recover. Dawson County, somewhat the same. But, of course, again, we can see what's happening in Howard County. And, again, this is reflective of what has happened with the prison. You can, again, you can walk across that graph and you can see that, of course, Concho, there's a lot of active cases in that county right now. And so that gives you an idea of where the active cases are in our service area. When you go to page 5, you then will see that's the recoveries, and I've already mentioned those. You can see that we've had significant recoveries in Tom Green, in Dawson, Howard, and then you can just go across the way. But the active cases, obviously, in Howard County right now are going to impact what those recoveries look like, hopefully, the next time we're looking at this graph. Okay. So then, Emma, let's go over to page 7. And just an update, as the pandemic is beginning to be, unfortunately, business as usual, we are finding ourselves at the state level. We're not meeting as often. The Texas Association of Community Colleges, we're meeting twice monthly now and as needed, and that will likely change again. We continue to have subgroup meetings as we need them for the college. Moving to page 8, We continue as far as our telephonic calls, just like this one today. This 800 number has been very useful in many ways. We did change up some things with what we did with our town halls and Success Summit, and we went to the Zoom platform. And so we're kind of going back and forth depending on what the particular meeting looks like and what we're trying to achieve. And so you can see that we're having good participation in the meetings, and we're just trying to be innovative to keep our information, participation, and planning going. All right, then, Emma, let's go over to page 11. And on page 11, we had reported that our leads orientation for San Angelo was in process when we had our last board meeting. The one for Big Spring was still to happen, and we did have 106 students attend that. Go to page 12. We have found the need on our San Angelo campus in some instances in order to accommodate reduced capacity for large classes. We have moved to our West Texas Training Center industry room so that we can maintain the social distancing and protocols that are important. Page 13, you'll see for the prisons, we had started the process of going back into the prisons to be able to start teaching, and but with the outbreak, we made some adjustments in that. And so we're still working on being able to go forward with that training, and we're working with the leadership of both FCI and GO. We are doing some things at GO. FCI, again, we're working to try to begin delivering again. And we are being able to deliver at the camp, but behind the fence we are still waiting for the green light to be able to do that. The other instructional planning issue, we continue to confer with our ISDs on potential changes in the academic calendar affecting dual credit. That has been a challenge for Howard College. In fact, it's a challenge across the state. Of course, all of our school districts are just like the colleges, and we're all trying to manage the different scenarios that we find ourselves in with outbreaks or delaying class, starting virtual, all those different kinds of options that people are employing in order to deal with the pandemic. So we continue to work with our school districts on that. That has definitely impacted our enrollment. We're going to move then all the way over to the next page. It's going to be quiet. It's on page 20. As you know, we got the CARES grant money, and with that CARES grant money, there are two sides, the student grants and then the institutional grant. And we have to do reporting with those. As I've mentioned at previous board meetings, the information on the institutional side and how we can expend those funds has been difficult as far as acquiring some of that information, because they have continued to make determinations on how they want that to be spent. And but in the meantime, we are required to submit grant reports, and financial aid has been doing their part in that. When you go to page 21, we also, the state received money from the governor's, the coordinating board received monies from the governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund GEAR. That could support the Texas grant, TEOG, TEG, and for emergency, to get those out to students. We, our allocation is $23,052 and for gear emergency aid and $23,856 for gear TEOG. So we, those are based on current TEOG eligibility agreement or requirements. And so we've already, those recipients, those students have already been selected who are eligible. And they were not eligible previously for the CARES emergency aid relief. And so those students are being contacted so that we can get those funds to them. Moving to page 23. Again, we continue to do everything virtual that we can. At the same time, we try to do everything in person that it, we can do so in a safe way. And beginning in October, we will be doing the virtual college fairs. And it's scheduled for the Big Spring campus on October the 7th. We will also participate in other virtual college fairs that will be in West Texas during the week of October 5th through the 8th. And again, all the colleges are working together to do what we can to get information out to students. We're also working, as I've already mentioned, not only do we work with the school districts on dual credit, but we also work with them as far as trying to plan any virtual in-person visits based on their school guidelines for visitors on campus. So we're still trying to get information out to students that are interested in attending college. We're scheduling the FAFSA nights. FAFSA is the paperwork that has to be submitted if you're interested in financial aid. And so we're working with school districts to get that information both in person and virtual. We also, our COVID-19 dashboard, we've added that to our COVID-19 information page on our website. We are trying to get that information out every Friday. And it's updated every week, and individuals can go to our webpage and look at the, it will say COVID-19 dashboard, and you can keep up. You can see the numbers of confirmed cases that we have had on any of our campuses that have resulted in exposures. We have had individuals that are exposed. We've had people have done a great job of following our guidelines, and they will call in and let us know that they are experiencing symptoms, or they have gone ahead and been tested, or they've been exposed. And so a lot of times individuals, they never even get on campus. And so what then we report then are those confirmed cases that have created exposures on our campuses. And when that happens, we go into contact tracing, and we make sure in any scenario that we find out about that we're doing contact tracing and making sure that the individuals are made aware if there are concerns. Okay. Reports. We continue. There are so many new reports, and Brenda has taken. She has had the yeoman's job of having to do report after report after report. And the newest one, we had the sixth one, and it's a new revised template for COVID-19 reporting, and it went to the LBB. And this particular report aligns with what is happening with the legislative appropriation request. So as we're moving into the session, then they're looking at how the colleges have been impacted by the pandemic, and so that is information that is being submitted. On our San Angelo campus, our testing and tutoring, we continue to try to ramp up and do more and more of our testing as we can. Our TEAS testing face-to-face started in September on a regular schedule. We're doing weekend and evening testing, and we're doing tutoring both in person and Zoom, and we've even added a volunteer tutor for science. So we're trying to, again, bring as much normalcy as we can. Page 25. I had mentioned last month that we were in the process of determining as a region. As you know, we have the WACJAC Conference and then the North Conference. In other words, the West Conference and the North Conference, and we make up Region 5. And we had been going back and forth on what would be the best postseason format. We had a meeting last Thursday. It has been determined and we will be getting that information out. But basically, we are trying to, one more time, we're trying to limit exposures and also traveling and those kinds of things. And so that's the way that we're coming up with our play. Now, all of this can be impacted by what is happening with cases and what begins to happen, any decisions that might be made at the national level or the state level. But for this point in time, that postseason format has been determined. Page 26, as you know, we did implement work accommodation plans for those that had COVID-19 need for accommodation. And since the last meeting, we have an additional request, and we have approved that one. And so we have 12 people that have accommodation. On page 27, this relates to our residence halls. As you know, we have been staging our move-in for our Big Spring campus, our SWID campus. Because of our numbers, we started off really all students present because we were able basically to give all of those students a room to themselves because of the fact that we had a decrease in enrollment. But our Big Spring campus, that was not the case, and so we determined that we were going to do a staggered move-in, and that is complete as of September the 18th, and we have 174 students that are living on the Big Spring campus and 29 students on the SWID campus. Also have some other individuals that are living in the dorms that assist with oversight in the dorms, and so those are listed as well. We had a trial run on quarantine and isolation, and gave us an opportunity to see what was missing. And so we put together some things relative instructional sheets that students would need in the cottages. If you'll recall, we're using the cottages out at SWID. Basically, they're the little small houses when you go onto the SWID campus. Those are being used for our isolation, and then we are doing quarantining as necessary, either in our dorms, if possible, and then isolation is on the SWID campus. And we have stocked those rooms with the things that those students need, because when this happens, of course, it happens quickly, and we have to remove students or a student that needs to be isolated. And so we want to be ready so that that student has as good experience as we can possibly provide for them as we begin the isolation. And on our dashboard, we do have a section that is just for residence halls, so that we can show, the public will know, parents will know, of course, obviously students first, what is going on, if there are any issues in the dorms. So we're trying to keep all that information out there. Page 29. Already mentioned additional isolation room materials. As far as specialized purchases, we continue to see some things that we need to add, and so we will be working on that. Probably one of our biggest projects right now, we are looking at the possibility of testing for our residence halls and looking at different vendors and just trying to make some determination on how we might go about that. And so that is a project in motion. Okay, then the next, we're going to be going to page 34. As far as upcoming decisions, we continue to respond to anything nationally, state, or local actions. And so, as we know, the governor made some changes at the state level that did impact some things, but we go to the Open Texas webpage, and all that information is not necessarily the same as far as the 75% capacity. That is still that varies by the scenario, and so we are following the state guidelines relative to Open Texas. Try to keep pretty current. Page 35, basically, we've already reported on the LAR resources that we're looking at. Page 36, we continue to monitor any potential actions that could be taken at the state level, impacting budgets as the economy is being strained. We work with donors that are interested in providing support for students and employees that are struggling. In the latest LBB report, we were required to be more definitive about essential service positions, and so we detailed that information out, and basically we had some individual, of course, our maintenance safety people, some of the HR, the business office, and then the position that I'm in, we determined early on that those would be when stay-at-home measures were being mandated and you were having to figure out essential services, we were coming up with what we would do, and so we had to report that. I don't think I left anybody out. Okay, already talked about the postseason format. All right, transition from Zoom classes to face-to-face. We continue, our students continue, they want to get back to face-to-face, and so we are trying in some instances to transition some classes as we can do safely back from Zoom to face-to-face, and so we're working on some of those. At the same time, spring break, we are talking about in all the colleges across the state, there's a lot of conversation now. We've moved from, okay, we're in the fall semester, let's get this done. Now let's start working on the spring semester, and what are we going to do? And as you all know, we made the decision that our fall semester would complete before Thanksgiving. That would then keep our students from having to travel after Thanksgiving and creating issues perhaps in the dorms again. And we will have the venue available to students for them to be able to, we will have a mini semester. There will be courses that students can take during the month of December. But that was basically what we did for the fall semester. So now we move to the spring semester. And so there is conversation about spring break. We do not have a recommendation at this point in time, and that's being discussed across the state. And so we'll be coming back with any recommended changes or how we might approach that. Page 37, we are updating our Open Howard College plan as needed. I've already talked about the prison. We're making daily decisions relative to reported and determined exposures, confirmed cases. I want to give credit. Fabian's in the room. Rhonda, our director of HR, is not in the room, but Fabian and Rhonda on a daily basis are working with cabinet members, other people that call in, and we try to come up with a triage where we work through what we need to do relative to if, you know, if a person has created an exposure, we need to do contact tracing or whatever. So that is very active, and I don't know that people, and I speak for the school districts as well as, of course, the colleges, and I'm sure businesses have the same issue, but without a doubt, colleges and schools, because of the masses of people that we have, there is a lot of activity with this, and we find ourselves quite busy with it. It's created an additional layer of complexity, and so we continue to work through that. We continue to look at the reopening of some rentable spaces that the college has, specifically the Coliseum and some other spaces that we have on our San Angelo campus, our SWID campus, just across the district, how we are, what we're comfortable with relative to what state guidelines are saying, and then we're also trying to confer with our local authorities. Already mentioned the resident hall students testing, and we're discussing the possible phasing in approach for spring dorm move-in. We'll talk about that some more and get back to you at the next meeting with final decisions on that. So that's all on the response status number 6. I would, board members, we did not, what I shared with you in your board book is a draft, but we are working on updating the Open Howard College plan. And so I showed you some of the initial information that we have. Literally this afternoon, Cabinet's going to be working on it, the response team, but I wanted you to see the things that were in red, some of the things that are in discussion right now. We keep up with what is happening with CDC, and they change, and when they change, we're trying to change with them. We're trying to keep up with what the coordinating board is doing, and the coordinating board, they're working to keep current with CDC as well as the Open Texas Strike Force, and so sometimes it takes a few days as all this is being worked out relative to how things are going to change. So I just wanted you to know that we're working on this, and we're, you know, as I mentioned too, we're talking about testing perhaps in the dorm, which would be something that would be not included necessarily in this document, but would be linked to for students that are living in the dorms. And I've already mentioned the dashboard. So, Mr. Chairman, that is all on the COVID report.
Okay. Thank you. Betsy, you covered the Big Spring, Louisa, and San Angelo. We have SWID awareness that week.
Yes, sir. You have in your board book, and Danny is there and can certainly give any kind of additional information, but of particular interest that we and would like to bring to your attention, this is something, Deaf Awareness Week, as you know, this is something that is celebrated across the nation. And Howard College and SWID, this is something that we've been doing for many, many years, decades probably, where we participate in the Deaf Awareness Week activities and always come up with something that will is for the campus as well as the community, because it's an opportunity to expose our community to the deaf world. And so we will, on Tuesday night at 7:30, we'll have a meet and teach in the room you're in. And we'll also have a Deaf Awareness Week proclamation. The mayor, I believe, is going to be able to make it and give the proclamation. And we will have some of our deaf leaders from the SWCC campus that will be going through Deaf Awareness Week history, manual alphabet, basic signs, questions and answer, just some fun things. And, of course, we obviously will be trying to get some students from and individuals from the Big Spring campus as well as the community to participate. Obviously, we have to be careful about the numbers in the room, and so we'll be mindful of that as well. And those would be the main things. We do have tonight, we have a movie, The Beautiful Sound of Love, and on Wednesday, we have movie night, The Deaf Club, and those are both at our Maddox Student Center. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to performance measure outcomes, accountability measure, operation behavior.
All right. And what we're going to report on today is our fall enrollment. I had mentioned at the last board meeting that we were seeing decreases in enrollment, and we were still waiting on numbers, and now this is certified, and you all know what that means. This is the information that we have sent in to the coordinating board, so this is certified enrollment and contact hours, and then our Rebecca Villanueva is our individual that reports, and she starts a process then going back and forth with the coordinating board and make sure that everything writes up. So our overall for fall 2020, our enrollment, we're down. And Emma, you have this up, right?
Yes, ma'am, she does.
Okay. You can see that as a district, we're down 14%. The Big Spring campus is down 7.57. San Angelo's down 17.58. SWID's down 13.92. So overall, we're down 14% in headcount. And then we analyze every situation to see what is going on with our enrollment. We've had some significant drops in the dual credit has been, again, as I mentioned earlier, we've been in contact with our school districts and everybody's just trying to get through this year. And so it has created some challenges as far as students taking dual credit. And so this headcount reflects that. All right. You can see that the Big Spring dual credit is down by 9.47%, and the San Angelo dual credit is down by 23.76%. So those are significant challenges that we've been dealing with. Next, we'll look at the contact hours, certified contact hours, and this does include Summer 2 Flex and Mini. And these numbers then, as you know, we're in the base year, and we started base year back in March. And so contact hours are very important during this time period because we're generating contact hours then that we receive funding 2 years forward. And so you can see that overall, our contact hours as a district were down 8.44%, and that is reflective of the fact. Of course, you're thinking, well, our headcount was higher than that, but yet our contact hours. Well, what that means is that the students that are enrolled, we have some that are taking more classes, and so we're not losing as much in the way of contact hours. So that, and then it may be the makeup of the courses they've chosen or whatever. But overall, we're down 8.44%. The Big Spring campus is down 4.09%. Lamesa's down 27.25%. San Angelo is 10.33%. Our SWID campus we're not, our funding is not based on contact hours. We always look at our contact hours, but we're not funded based on that, and we are down on our contact hours for SWIT as well. And so, so you can see that this is, again, it's concerning. As I've already mentioned, our scenario with the prison, we do a lot of training in the prisons, and so we are going to see a drop, a very significant drop in contact hour generation. And so that is, again, of concern going into the base year. Pulling up, Emma, I'm assuming that you're pulling up the next chart that shows general studies, career tech, ed by campus. And that shows, again, headcount, the changes year to year. And as I mentioned in the August board meeting, our headcount right now as a district, we're down to where we were back in 2008. And so you can see that, that this has been there's no doubt this has been a challenge for us. And so, that's what we're dealing with. Our contact hours, they're down. Probably the most concerning is that, you can look at the way our contact hours looked at this time last year for fall, and you can see that we have a drop. But the reality is that fall of 2018 is a more important number because that was base year. And so you can see that we're down about 100,000 hours contact. And so that's significant. This next is fall enrollment, that chart. So we have been analyzing, as I mentioned, looking at what is happening, looking at our different numbers, there's no doubt that there has been some challenge with our dual credit and with what's happening at the prisons, and so we're having to manage through all this. We're not alone as far as in the weekly calls that we have with the community colleges. For the most part, there have been a handful that have not seen a drop, but a drop in their enrollment. But for the most part, there have been some significant drops. We have submitted. The TAC does a survey, and they gather all the information so that we can see how we're doing as community colleges in general. And that enrollment, we should be getting it, or that report, we should be getting it very soon, and we'll be sharing it with you. So, Mr. Chairman or any board members, do you have any questions about the certified enrollment report?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, next is as far as student success indicators. We want to show the Success Summit video that we shared. Again, it was a Zoom meeting. And Emma, if you will start that, board members that have called in, if you want to, you may have already watched, but it'll be about 4 minutes. All right. So I want to give credit to Cindy Smith for that. She, as always, does a super job. And you can see her creativity in that. And I thought she did a great job of pulling in some humor. And at the same time, you know, kind of the surrealness of what we've all been experiencing over the last year. But without a doubt, our students succeeded, and we're very, very proud of them. And this one will go down in the history books, as we've said many times. So that's all on that, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. All right, our next item on the agenda is monitoring purchases and overview of purchasing process. Steve, you going to give us something?
Good afternoon, everybody. That success video is going to be hard to follow after. I'm going to give you can everybody hear me on the phone? Am I good?
I can, Steve.
Okay. Well, as you are aware, the Board of Trustees establishes the purchasing policy for the college district. And many of those policies are built upon the state law that's enacted by the Texas legislature, specifically things that apply with bid limits. And so in a daily routine purchasing request, it's initiated in a department when they need a service or an item, and then the requisition flows through a predetermined chain of individual approvers. So, for example, if the requisition author puts something in, then it goes to the review, to budget review. It goes to the author supervisor, to the appropriate cabinet member, to the CFO, to the CBO, and finally, after all approvals, the requisition then becomes a purchase order when it's printed. If the item varies from a routine purchase, such as just normal pens and pencils kind of thing, if it's capital outlay or electronic equipment, it's also reviewed by the CFO or the Dean of IT. And if it involves a grant, then the grant accountant, either on the Big Spring campus or the San Angelo campus, reviews it for compliance with state and federal guidelines. And then if it exceeds a certain amount, then the president also approves it. So then you get into spot purchases. Those are being items costing $5,000 or really less than $5,000. Those are the items that the employees can purchase by entering a requisition, or they can use their P-card. If it is $5,000 or more and less than $10,000, then the employee has to obtain three informal quotes, which can be catalogs or emails from their vendors that they're wanting to purchase from. If it is $10,000 or more, then they have to obtain three formal quotes, and that means they have to be signed by the vendor, and they can be written, emailed, or faxed as long as they're signed. Then we get into items that cost more than $50,000, and they must be purchased in accordance with state law and an approved procurement method, which includes public notices, competitive bidding, and sealed proposals. And depending upon the item or the service, the options are bids, RFPs, RFQs, or RFIs, which are requests for proposals, requests for quotes, and requests for information. Most oftenly at the college, we're going to use bids or RFPs. And using either one of these methods, we put a public notice in the Herald, or if it's in San Angelo, we'll put it in the San Angelo paper, for two consecutive weeks. And then bid documents or the RFP, depending on which it is forwarded to interested contractors or vendors, or they'll see it in the paper and they'll contact us. There's also, we get calls from vendors who subscribe to a service who also pick that information up and notify them. So documents that are returned from the contractors by the date that we close are opened and scored by a team or a committee to review them. And scores are based on cost. If it's a bid, they're looking at cost. If it's a RFP, they're looking at a scoring rubric. And the college seeks to obtain best value, which is incorporated into the rubric, and it can include things like contractors' references, and if they've worked for the college before, if we were satisfied or dissatisfied with their service. So in the RFP, it's a rather lengthy deal, and I just want to point a few things out. It has a general overview. It talks about the delivery location, the project specification, closing date information. Usually we close on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, pretty normal. Then they, the contractor or the vendor will have their submittal information. There's also certain documents in there that they have to sign and attest to. One is a felony conviction or a debarment notice that they have to sign, a vendor statement. There's also a deal that was created by House Bill 89, which deals with companies boycotting Israel that they have to sign. And then there's other terms and conditions in there, which is annulments and reservations, the insurance requirement limitations, and they have to supply their certificates, workers' comp and employees' liability certificates, their public liability and their property damage liability, and automobile and vehicle insurance limits and remedies for non-performance. All those we deal with when they come on our campus. Some of the vendors do not carry the insurance liability and the property damage and vehicle limits that we require. We do it to protect our property, and we do it to protect the students when their vehicles are driving around on campus and from damaging structures. Okay. Some cannot attest because of the felony conviction and the debarment statements, but they are required by state law, state and federal law. Okay. As a part of the purchasing process, any of these things that I've been talking about that cost over $50,000 that we're procuring, we bring to you for your approval. And so you see and approve any item that is competitive bid before it's awarded. State law also enables us to enter into interlocal agreements with other state or local government agencies, and authority for these are under Chapter 791 of the Texas Government Code. And as a board, you approve the interlocal agreements before we enter the agreement, and then the board secretary signs it. The college is also a member of a number of purchasing co-ops, and this competitive arrangement provides lower pricing, but it also allows those co-ops to do the bidding process, the public notices, and review, and so we don't have to do that. They furnish us with their contract number, and it enables us to be able to bypass that procedure and purchase a lot and still conform to the state law. So, hope this has provided a little additional insight about how we purchase services for the college. We're always looking for the best value, so that means that it's not always the lowest price. It is also based on the warranty that the company offers us. It's based on their ability to repair. If they're putting in big equipment, come and repair it, and they have the staff to do it. And it's also based on the fact that they've worked for us before and they did a good job or they did a bad job and we want them back or just say not. And how they care for our equipment and our grounds when they're on our campus, as well as how they watch out for our students. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next item is the Collison Chiller request for proposal. Okay.
And just briefly on that before Dr. Sparks probably wants to speak to that, we put out a bid for a Coliseum chiller. It's 125 tons. We put the RFP out. We got some interest in that. We sent out the notices to them. And it opens tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and then we'll be reviewed by a committee before we do anything. And then I think Dr. Sparks wants to speak.
Thank you, Steve. And so, board members, on this particular one, this is the Coliseum chiller. If you remember, we talked about this. Actually, we looked at the Coliseum, replacing that chiller in last year's budget, but we were unable to get that project done by year end. And so we had already been reaching out, trying to get information from individuals that might be interested before we went out, and so we did have that interest. People were ready when Steve did the RFP to submit proposals. We think we're going to have, based on the calls that he had, unless something else has changed, you're still thinking we're going to have four? Is that right, Steve?
We're hoping so.
Okay. And so now the scenario that we have on this is that we have understood that the prices on these chillers may be going up in October, And sometimes in the past, in scenarios like this, you've given me the authority to, after the committee reviews scores, makes a final recommendation, you've given me the authority to proceed with the best proposal, unless, of course, there's some kind of an issue that arises. And then I report at the next board meeting. So I want to ask if you would be comfortable with that. That this particular time, if not, if you want to wait until the regular board meeting in October, we can do that.
What you wish.
Well, if you're comfortable giving me the authority, again, since there will be, there's a committee. Again, they score it. It's based on certain specs. All the things that Steve went through, it's pretty straightforward. And, of course, price is part of the criteria. And so if you're comfortable with giving me the authority, I would ask for that so that we can keep the process going and we can get best price.
Well, I'm personally comfortable with it. If you are, I need a motion.
Motion.
I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Thank you. Motion passes. You have the authority, Dr. Spark.
Thank you, sir, and board members. Okay. You want me to just keep going, Mr. Chairman?
Ma'am, handbook changes, please.
Okay. So in your board book, you see there are three different policies that we're bringing forward for your review and approval. Policy 1.2 is harassment. We already have a policy in our handbook, of course, relative to non-discrimination harassment. But what you see in this document that we've given you and all the information that is in red, there's been a lot of changes at the national, federal, state level. And so we have just totally revamped our policy. And we're continuing to work on our student handbook policy as well, which we'll be bringing to you in the October board meeting. So, again, this is pretty straightforward. This is just basically we're just trying to follow what we're required to do by the law, how it has to be handled. And so that's what this particular policy is. Policy 5.5 on the sick leave pool. Actually, what you see there, the area that is struck, basically that our practice has been that if a person is on sick leave pool, which means they have a serious illness, a serious situation in their family, we have allowed them, if they get another a month of leave, they generate that, then we have allowed them to add that in. That has been our practice, and so we're simply striking that. We have not required that they physically return to work because we literally have had people through the years, we've lost them, that we've lost them to cancer, those kinds of things. And so that has been our practice. So I wanted you to know we were trying to make that appropriate. Safety award program, 1.4, it's crime awareness and site security. We do have specific policies that we require relative to safety and practice as far as how we handle equipment, what people are doing, the steps they're taking to make sure that they're keeping themselves first and foremost, safe, others around them. And certainly equipment, and so we've had a safety basically incentive program. And what happened on our safety awards program, we had expanded that so that people that had the broadbanding, and that people have points in the last category, if they have a job that has certain safety issues in it, that they get points for the position. That position gets points. And there are some positions that that is really not equipment-based. And so we felt like that the original intent of the Safety Award Program really was for the people that are having to, on a daily basis, that are dealing with HVAC, things that are very serious, as well as equipment. And so we wanted to change that to go back to what the original intent was. So that's the change there. And, Mr. Chairman, that is all board members as far as changes on our policies and procedures.
So a motion to approve changes. Motion to approve changes. Do I have a second? I have a second. Thank you, Ben. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. We have a quorum. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Okay. Howard County Appraisal District Board resignation and nominations. Dr. Sparks, I appreciate it if you go ahead and finish us out on this, please.
Yes, sir. The Appraisal District, as you know, every 2 years there is consideration relative to membership on the Appraisal District, but occasionally there are scenarios where a person will resign, and we've had that situation. Brandon Iden has resigned from the Appraisal District, and as a result, then there are certain state procedures required in the replacement of an individual from the Appraisal District. So we have received a letter from the Appraisal District, the chief appraiser, saying that each taxing entity is receiving these letters, and we have until November 3rd to make any kind of a recommendation on a nomination. And so I wanted you to be aware that this process is in place. We have the resignation, and you can be thinking about any individuals that you think could serve on the board for consideration at the October board meeting. Because again, if we have a nomination, we have to have it turned in by November the 3rd to the Appraisal District. And then after that, after the Appraisal District receives its nominations from the taxing entities, then there will be a ballot and people will vote. And as you know, the college has a certain number of votes, as do all the other taxing entities, and it's based on a formula. So that's FYI. Mr. Chairman, would you like me to just keep going?
Ma'am, if you would, please.
Okay. You have, as far as your calendar, we've already mentioned some of it. As far as the Deaf Awareness Week, you see that we are beginning to have some scrimmages on our campus, and we also are playing in some scrimmages. You'll recall that we have limited numbers that we can play. That's all National Junior College Athletic Association guidelines, and so that's what you see. Our second 7-week classes begin on the 5th. I might make mention of the fact you'll notice that the rodeos, we're moving full steam ahead on the rodeos. Of course, I mentioned at the last board meeting that we understand they're going to be really watching how students are following protocols, and so far so good on that. The Virtual Leadership Congress, the 5th through the 8th, and I'm kind of jumping around, but this will work here. As you know, you have been registered for the virtual meeting, and we did a group package, and we got a significant savings in that. And you should have already received an email that will allow you to sign in. You can do those. You can do them live, or they're going to record those, and you can watch them at your leisure at another time. And I'm also registered. I will go in. I will watch, and if I see any that I somebody, I'll point them out to you. Remind you that that's happening the week of October 5th through the 8th. Your next board meeting is on October the 26th, and same place. The Howard College Big Spring Foundation will be meeting on October the 29th. Dr. Freeman, Mr. Barr, Mr. Morgan are all members of that foundation, so you'll be getting more information. You've already received some. And we remind everybody to vote. Everybody, we're trying to do what we can on our campuses as far as trying to get students to sign up and just making sure that people participate in the electoral process, which is a very important part of our country. Veterans Day, as you know, in the past, we have been the host many times for Veterans Day in the Big Spring area, particularly in conjunction with the VA. We have ceremonies on all of our campuses, but we have partnered with the VA. But at this point in time, there's not a specific event planned. And again, it's all COVID related. But we'll certainly let you know if anything changes between now and the next board meeting. Legislative and general updates. The only thing that I would really want to share about legislative updates is that, as I mentioned, you know that the Texas Association of Community Colleges, we meet. We have legislators that are part of those Zoom meetings. And in the last call, it appears that going into January, it's going to be a very different session. We all know that as far as not anticipating there's going to be a lot of movement in the Capitol. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to do their process, and they're working on that already. In some of the hearings that we normally, interim hearings, what we've been doing, the community colleges have been submitting written testimony, and so it's just going to be a different session. So we'll keep you apprised of that as things move along. We've already talked about the virtual Congress board book training. Well, we get to transition on something else, and that is we will be transitioning to board book premiere. And in October, at that October board meeting, that will be a test run. And we have shared a short video with you, and you're going to be getting another email on that. When we switch, you'll be getting a new user and password. So we'll be in touch with you about that. We'll work through all of that. And, Mr. Chairman, that's all that I have.
Very good.
Can I just say something real quick?
Please do.
We did two voter drives last Tuesday, National Voter Registration Day. We did one here and we did one at SWID. I don't know exactly everything that happened here. I wasn't this one. I did the one at SWID, and the people there couldn't have been more helpful and friendly. They gave us an interpreter, and we signed up a number of students who probably otherwise wouldn't have and would not have been voting in November because nobody bothered with them.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Good.
Okay. Any other comments or things to be brought before the board? Not by the authority granted to me by the governor of the state of Texas, I consider this meeting adjourned.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.